Today I'm going to continue to speak on finances and just share my concern that's in my heart with you. I want to encourage a grace preacher to just have a look at what I've got to say. I don't want to give myself out as a teacher of teachers or anything like that. I just see a passion in my heart and something that I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you, and you can evaluate it, you can check it to the scriptures and see what you believe about it, but I want to just share what is in my heart. The reason why why this is in my heart is because I believe that every person, and we all know that, needs money in this world, and we live by money. Our finances determines where we stay, what we drive, what clothes we wear, our means of transport. The whole thing, it's all determined by money. And we use money every day of our lives. We're concerned about the fuel price going up, the oil price going up, politics, all those kind of things. It's just governed by finances. And if we come with a message of God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace, and we cannot apply it in the area of finances, I believe that our people will be bound in a very big area of their life. And that is where we actually need money. Jesus Christ came and He said, don't worry about what you will wear, where you will stay, or any of those things, for God cares for us. And that was Jesus' attitude concerning financial prosperity of people. And that, if you listen to what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm speaking to leaders, you are very, very familiar with that verse in Matthew 6, where He says that, don't worry about what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will drink, all those kind of things. Because after those things, the Gentiles seek. And God says you've got need of those things, and then that He's a Father that will provide for you. Then He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Now, if you would have been in the presence of Jesus, if you as a leader today look at your financial situation, and maybe you're going through a hard time financially, if you as a leader would sit in the very presence of Jesus when He spoke those words, you would not have had a sense of obligation, but a sense of rest. This is what Jesus said. He said, first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when He says, first seek the kingdom of God, the Bible clearly states that the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus was actually saying to them is, listen, man, there's things that is of greater value that you can be concerned about, and that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, and to have that revelation. So if you want to, do something, get yourself into understanding that message. And that would have brought a lot of peace to you. You would just have felt, man, here I am at last in the presence of a teacher that teaches God as a loving Father, providing for people for free. And as leaders, that's what we want to hear for ourselves. And that will set us free from bondage. That will give us peace. That will give us boldness in our next project. But when it comes to our church and our church members, they need the very same thing. And I understand that it can be very difficult if you've got a big ministry, especially if you are preaching all over the world, the gospel, and you've got television bills, and you've got radio bills, and you've got many, bills to pay and all those kind of things. I mean, I'm just here in South Africa. I preach on a television station, and I know it costs a lot of money. And if I go onto a radio station, it costs a lot of money. And so there are preachers all over, grace preachers preaching on smaller television stations in their areas, radio stations and all those things, and it costs money. We know that. We know that there's building funds and all those kind of things. But I believe that our doctrine should not be formed by our need, but our doctrine should be formed by what the Bible says. And that's why I'm just going to continue to speak on the tithe. And I want to ask you with a sincere heart, not to say that I know better or anything like that, but But I want to ask with just a sincere heart that you would listen to this and consider what I'm saying. We're going to go to Deuteronomy, and we're just going to touch on the tithe again. Deuteronomy 14, and we read from verse 22. It says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year by year, that you shall eat before the Lord your and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of your corn and of your wine and of your oil and of the firstling of your herd and of your flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." So here it says that you will eat the tithe so that you can learn to fear. And we know clearly, and as I'm speaking to leaders, you know this verse already. The Bible says Jesus comes and Satan says, and Jesus said, "You shall only worship the Lord your God, and him alone, you know, shall you worship." When Jesus quoted that, he quoted from Deuteronomy, where that word worship was actually used as the word fear in the Old Testament. So that fear is the word worship. Now, I found that when we preach a message of tithing and sowing and reaping, that people struggle to worship or reverence or believe in God. If you preach a message of tithing where the tithe is not something that you eat, where it's not meat that you eat that feeds you, but it's something that you give away in order to prosper financially, I want to tell you, your people will struggle to believe in God. When sickness come their way, they will struggle to believe. When they need a breakthrough, you will find fear coming in their heart, going up and down in the house, you know, trying to quote scripture to just work up their belief again. There will not be that absolute rest. Now I want to explain how I see belief and how belief works. The word believe is the word trust, which means to rest your mind in the integrity of somebody else. And as leaders, through years, we've been hearing the mission. And what we were hearing was that if we give, God will bless us. If we give, the curse will be broken. If we sow, then we will reap. Now, what we heard through that does not promote integrity on God's side. Now, the reason why I say it is this, is because of this. God gave His Son to us without us doing anything. He gave us the Holy Spirit. You're clear in the book of Acts. When they preached, the Holy Spirit fell on the people, on the Gentiles, which didn't even confess their sins. They were just listening to the message, and before they could come to the altar call or calling people forward or anything, they received the Holy Spirit and prayed in other tongues, prophesied. So that they receive for free. So God is willing to give His Son for free. God is willing to give the Holy Spirit for free. And He even says, "I give unto you my kingdom. That's my will. Here's the kingdom. Take it." Everything is for free. But when it comes to money, God says, "I cannot protect you. I will allow sickness to come your way. I will allow the curse to come your way if you don't tithe. And you need to provide for yourself, for your future, by putting seed in the ground now. I'm not going to get involved in caring for you with earthly substance. It is up to you to apply a principle. So you don't get money out of me for free. You're going to do something for it." Now, the human heart has got a certain value system that's placed in it. And this is how the value system works. We value life inside every person. He will want to survive first. You know, he wants to stay alive. You'll worry about life more than what you will worry about money. You will worry about, doesn't matter what it costs. If your wife gets cancer or your child is in a motor car accident, it doesn't matter what it costs. You'll give it all that they can live. So the highest value a human being has in his belief system is that of life, human life. And our finances is connected to that human life. So what we will say is, we will say, "God, you know, God will not care for me. He will give me His Son. He's a God that values His Son as high. He will give me His Son, and He will care for me by giving His Son. He will give me His Holy Spirit, His very innermost being." And we in ourselves see that as a very high priority. But now He comes and He says, "I will not give you money for free. You're going to do something for it. You're going to work a principle. Now, the human heart then believes, the subconscious mind makes this calculation, and this is the end of the calculation, that God values money more than human life. He values money more than His Son. And that is what we program our people with. And that's why we will struggle to see them being content. You know, I tell you now, I've been through many churches, preaching in many churches, and I've met with many leaders, and I've met with many Christians. I have not found a Christian in a so-called prosperity church. And I'm not against prosperity. We will have some other sessions on this as well. And I want to make it clear to leaders. That's why we'll have a couple of sessions. I have not been in the prosperity church and I've spoken to anybody in that church that believes what the pastor preaches about money that is content. He's not content. He always wants more, always wants something bigger. He's always talking about money and the big thing he received, the newer car or the house or the bigger thing that he wants to do. There's not a contentment and an inner peace. There's not that satisfaction, that trust in God, a life that's lived from absolute contentment, always chasing after something. So we sit with these people that will be easily discouraged, you know, that will sit with questions in their subconscious mind and by willpower override that to just stick to the pattern of confessing right, giving right, trying to get more in this life, and then thinking that this gain they have is godliness. And we all know that the Bible says in 1 Timothy that stay away from those that say gain is godliness. We cannot measure godliness by how much money we get. So here he says that the tithe is something that you eat in remembrance of God. Then I want to just go on. We've talked about this verse yesterday. I want to just touch on another verse here. It says, and you shall bestow that money. Now, if the place where you would tithe was too far. Now, this is the basic application of the tithe. This is how you had to tithe. There was no other way of tithing than this way. This is how you had to tithe. Tithing was always food, something you ate in remembrance of God. Now, listen to this. And you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusts after. This is your tithe money. If the place was too far, you took your money, you took your tithe, you turned it into money. Then you took that money to the place where God has shown, the temple or wherever it was. And then the Bible says, and you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusts after. For oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatsoever your soul desires. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice, you and your household. Okay, so what happened? You took your wife and your kids and everybody. You took your tithe. Then you went to the place which God has shown. If the place was too far, you turned it into money. Then at that place, you had to take the money and spend it on food. It says there, meat, bread, wine, strong drink, oil, whatever your heart desires. It says, and then you will eat there your tithe, you and your whole household. Now, there's something awesome about this. And I mean, most of you leaders have gotten access to Esau. Go and study this out. That word household there is the exact same Hebrew word for storehouse. So when God was saying in Malachi 3, that he's got this complaint, there's no meat in his house, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. What was he actually saying? He was saying, bring your tithe to your household, that your household can eat and be remember God. Hallelujah. So the storehouse is actually a wrong translation. You cannot use it as storehouse. I have not seen a word where the tithe was stored up. It was the word household. So you had to bring your tithe to where God said, and then you and your storehouse or your household had to eat that flesh, that meat in remembrance of God. Amen. So in Malachi 3, it clearly states that Jesus Christ, and this is what he said, the Bible says this clearly, and please go and read Psalm 40. I think we've got about 5 minutes left. Let's quickly go to Psalm 40 and let me read it. Where it states that the Bible, in the Bible, when it talks about sacrifices and things people had to pay, it actually spoke about Jesus. Psalm 40. Let's just quickly have a look at that. Psalm 40 says, Jesus said in verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than the than can be numbered. So yet Jesus comes, he says, and this is a prayer of Jesus. He says, when I think of your thoughts, they are awesome towards us. Because he prays from a human being point of view. Then he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. So sacrifice and offerings. The first fruit offering, any offering in the Bible, and any sacrifice in the Bible, including burnt offerings and sin offerings, God does not require. So Jesus came, and I think he was just knowing the Father is such a God of love and care, and he was reading through the Scriptures as he was studying the Scripture, knowing what he had to do on the earth, studying it out. And in his heart, there must have been this question, saying, God, you're such a loving God. What is the issue with all these sacrifices and things? Why do you have against animals, killing them like that? You know, why must people do all these sacrifices? And then God opened the ears of Jesus, and he heard the truth about sacrifice. And he heard the truth was that God does not require that. Now, let's go to verse 7. He says, then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. So Jesus come and he acknowledges that all sacrifices, all offerings, first fruit offering, every offering and every sacrifice, every type and shadow the Bible talks about, God does not require it. But it was actually written about him, saying that he is the first fruit offering, saying that he is that lamb, that sacrifice, that sin offering, saying that he is the scapegoat. If Jesus can be your lamb, if Jesus can be your scapegoat, why can Jesus not be your tithe? In other words, that which had to be eaten in remembrance of God. So Malachi 3 clearly states, it says, bring ye, that word ye there, Aleph Tav, or in Greek, Alpha Omega, talking about Jesus, pointing to Jesus. Now when Jesus was reading Malachi 3, what was he reading? He was reading that not to see how people had to tithe, but he knew that he came in the volume of the book. It's written of him. God does not require man to tithe. God requires Jesus as the tithe so that the curse can be removed from people. Now, I will still talk about how we're going to, you know, how we're going to deal with finances and receiving finances in our congregations. But just get this into your heart. You don't have to go this week and preach it in your church or next week or the week after that. First, get this settled in your heart. Amen. So Jesus read the Bible from the perspective of seeing every sacrifice as something written unto him that he had to do on behalf of man. That's what Psalm 40 clearly states. He is the Lamb. We know that. We know he's the first fruit offering. We know he was the firstborn from the dead. We know he's the one that obeyed on our behalf. We know that every type and shadow in the Bible talks about Jesus' redemptive plan and what God did in Christ to redeem mankind and set mankind free, including the tithe. Including the tithe. The same with sowing and reaping. I do believe in sowing and reaping. Jesus was sown by the Father. The Bible says Jesus is the seed, and if the seed dies, then God will reap a lot of seed, which is us. Isn't that awesome? So tomorrow we're going to get a little bit more into this, but I want to just encourage you to study that out and let the Word of God touch your heart. in Jesus' mighty name. Know this one thing, you can enjoy the love of God and His peace always in all areas of life. God bless you.